Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Paul Hamilton.
He is a beat reporter for a team that has millions of fans. It is so ridiculous how many people he has blocked on Twitter over the most ridiculously stupid things. The man needs to grow up. He needs to have a little bit thicker skin.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Paul Hamilton joins us in just a moment. Good morning. It's 7:05 on WGR. Howard's off today. Josh Allen got reps with the ones. That's the big thing that happened. The other big thing that happens while Howard's on vacation, the U.S., Canada, and Mexico, the joint 2026 World Cup bid has been awarded to United 2026, which is U.S., Canada, and Mexico. And I had just tweeted out, where might there be venues? Well, United 2026 actually has venues listed. And I just sent out a map. So the closest will probably be Toronto. BMO Field apparently will be expanding as a part of this, or at least that's one of the ideas, that BMO Field, which seats 30,000 for soccer, will expand to 45,000 for the World Cup. The close potential, again, we're talking 8 years from now. So mark your calendar. Toronto, MetLife, Philadelphia, Baltimore, Boston, Cincinnati's on the list. Paul Brown Stadium there in Cincinnati, Washington, D.C. But it looks like Toronto's the closest one. And this bid, it goes from the farthest two away, Edmonton in Canada and Mexico City in Mexico. And I don't know how it works, who gets the automatic bid for the 2026 World Cup, but, the auto-qualifying, if you host, you auto-qualify, and I don't know who gets it. Hopefully the U.S. won't need the help. Right? U.S. would host 60 of the 80 games, all quarters and semis, and the final games. So Canada and Mexico kind of help, but the U.S. gets the lion's share of the games in 2026. The actual World Cup, this one, 2018, starts tomorrow. Russia and Saudi Arabia at 11 a.m. And then Friday, a full plate of games as well. No U.S., which is a bummer for a lot of people, of course. 803-0550 if you want to chime in on Josh Allen or on the O'Reilly trade. Mention some... The latest rumors, we're kind of tracking this. Paul Hamilton on the AT&T hotline. Paul, good morning.
Don't worry, is that kind of weird for the World Cup to go to three countries?
It's not. I would say yes. It's a little bit unusual, yeah. I don't know if that's happened before. Without knowing, I'd say I bet it has, but I'll double check that. Either way, thanks to Canada and Mexico for teaming up, I guess.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's never happened or something. I just, when you were talking about it here, I was just going, three countries. Wow, I wonder how often that's happened.
South Korea and Japan in 2002 were co-hosts. And other than that, it has not happened. So this is the second time you're getting co-hosts. In this case, you're having three different countries host it. So you got plans in 2026?
No, not yet.
All right. Maybe the Sabres will have a winning record at some point between now and 2026.
Hey, maybe they make the playoffs by then?
I hope so. If they don't, I will I don't want to say it. All right, Paul, so the latest on the Ryan O'Reilly chatter. Do you find that, we've been through this before. We've been through rumors and rumblings, and we've got different insiders saying it's more likely than not. Does this one strike you as the same as them all, that these kind of rumors will always spin, or do you think that what we're seeing is more and more smoke that will ultimately reveal the fire?
Well, very often what you hear is a rumor. When a trade is actually made, you never heard it. But this is Jason Botchel's first turn through being a general manager, so we don't know if he plants things out there, because some general managers do. They'll plant things to try to get other teams to think they're doing one thing or another. And, Darcy Regier never did that. I mean, with Darcy Regier, rumors were ridiculous because they never, ever came true. I think maybe the Derek Roy trade might have been the only rumor that came true in his whole regime. With Tim Murray, I think he was always planting things out there. You know, he wanted everybody to think he's in the middle of everything, and you know, rumors were abound and plentiful and everything. So with Jason Bottrell, you don't know what rumors are like. You don't know if they're accurate, if they're not, if he's planting things, if he's not, if he's over there at the arena laughing at all this, thinking, where do they get this stuff? Because we've never talked to Vancouver, or we've never talked to this team or that team. So, you know, we just need to get used to Jason Bottrell a little bit.
Yeah, find out exactly what he's looking for. And when he talks about O'Reilly and the value that he has there, this is the one thing about this potential trade, Paul, that is, well, exciting to me, and that's that he doesn't have to make this trade by any stretch. If he's going to do it, it's going to be because, well, he's a poker player to some degree here. He's holding something that he has value for, and maybe someone out there values O'Reilly more than Bottrell does and is willing to give something that Bottrell thinks is worth it. That's the thing. When you have 31 different GMs, you have 31 different values for O'Reilly, and you have 31 different trade offers. Not that they're all going to make offers, but, you know, O'Reilly's a guy that almost every team would want. It's a matter of what they would give up for him, and all Bottrell has to do is not – it's not like an auction at the deadline. Instead, it's – show me something that I think is worth more than this player is, and once he gets that, he would trade him.
Yeah, I think common sense tells us you're not going to get the 7th overall pick. I don't think anybody had to go out and deny that. I think that's just common sense that he's not going to get you that. But think about when if you want a new car, but your car's okay. You don't need a new car. But you're thinking, maybe I'll go talk about it. So you go into the dealership. And if you don't get close to the deal you want, you're okay because you don't really have to get a new car because your car's fine, but you were just kind of looking into it. And it seems like you might get the best deal to get a new car when you really don't need a new car. And you can just go in there and listen to offers and say, they're not good enough. Have a good day. We'll see you. You know, that type of thing. So he also is in that same situation. It's not like the Evander Kane situation where he felt Vander Kane just, we're moving him, as simple as that. He doesn't have to move O'Reilly. He doesn't have to initiate trade talks. People are calling him. He's willing to listen. And he'll see where it goes from there. And if he doesn't think he's getting maximum value for him, then fine, he'll play here next year.
And when you talk about that, it's basically he's got a walk-away price. Like he with Kane, if you don't make the deal, you don't get anything. You walk away empty-handed. So accepting a second-round pick, even though he might not like it, which turned into a first, at least that's, well, I've got to sell it for pennies on the dollar because otherwise it becomes worthless to me when he signs somewhere else. And O'Reilly, that's not the case. For Phil Housley, one of the things I wonder, Paul, is if the Sabres plan on playing a fast style, would they be as shrewd as saying, this guy's just not one to do it. He's not fast enough. He's not a good enough skater. We're not saying he's worthless, but it's very possible that when the Sabres look at O'Reilly, maybe Bottrell would have identified this the day he came in and said, like, all right, we'll see if this will work out. But in the meantime, I'm going to consider lots of options. The stories that they were receiving offers or they were fielding offers at the deadline would tell me that, you know, Bottrell was maybe giving O'Reilly a trial run here and maybe Housley as well.
You can make a case of trading him. Forget all the other stuff. Forget about what he said on locker cleanout day. Forget about how he fits in with Eichel. Forget about everything. You can just make the case that the Sabres, every time they played a fast team, got completely and utterly run over. It wasn't even fun to watch. And their key players are the slow players. Oposo, O'Reilly, Reinhart, Pominville. The guys who are getting the most ice time are the slowest guys they've got. And just no foot speed at all. So that's where, you know, if you're looking at how to change this team and how to turn this team around, that's one thing. And everybody said, including Bottrell and Housley, is they need to get faster. Well, they need to get faster in the key spots on their team, too, because these guys are the ones getting the most ice time.
Paul Hamilton on the AT&T hotline. Paul, when it comes to playing with more speed, I mean, Rasmus Dahlin should help that. Where else does it come from? You know, if you're trading O'Reilly for Noah Hanifin or who knows where you're going to trade him to, where does the speed come from for this team? And does Phil Housley start from scratch with that? If I think back to the season, the opener, they looked fast, and then it ended. It was a game that they looked like a fast team. So does he kind of start from scratch, do you think?
Well, I think some of the returns you get and some of the trades you make is going to make you faster. Maybe, you know, if you get a Skinner is part of a deal for O'Reilly, or whoever you get for O'Reilly, or whoever you get for player X, Y, Z, however many trades you're going to make, I think you may get speed in return. Can Baptiste and Bailey finally make the NHL and make some sort of a difference in a third or fourth line role? And that definitely makes you faster. I mean, the two of them have elite speed. You know, Mittelstadt's not the fastest thing in the world either. I know he came advertised as speed, but once he got into the NHL, I was thinking, okay, where's the speed we're talking about here? He certainly impressed. I mean, I'm not saying I wasn't impressed with him. I'm just saying from a speed standpoint. I mean, he's faster than O'Reilly, but, you know, there wasn't elite speed or anything like that, and I was kind of like thinking, okay, I thought this guy was supposed to be fast, but he really wasn't. So, you know, he's not a guy that's going to really improve your speed. Brendan Gulley, if he makes the team, of course, is going to improve your speed. I mean, he flat out can move. Bogosian, if he's healthy, improves your speed. He is a very fast skater when healthy, and he can get up ice in a big hurry. So, you know, he's another one that if he's a healthy player, and that's a big if, he can improve your speed also.
How about in goal, Paul? What do you think the plan with Robin Lehner is? Is there reason to believe they just won't even qualify him? They'll just let him walk?
I think there's reason to believe that. I don't think you want Robin Lehner here splitting goaltender duties with Ullmark. I don't think he would react well to that. I don't think that's something that I don't think that would be good for your locker room. I think he believes he's a number one goaltender, and I hope he believes that. He's not a good competitor or an athlete if he doesn't believe he's a number one goaltender. And I don't think he would be very open to being a backup or splitting time or anything like that. So, I mean, what's the point of if you can't move him and you've tried to move him, and what's the point of qualifying him if you really have no plans at all for him to be here? So, it'll be interesting to see the two restricted free agents that I'm wondering are Lehner and Hudson Fashing, because Hudson Fashing is a very slow skater. He's working on his foot speed as best he can. He plays, I mean, this is when you're really supposed to be impressing. He plays the first game of the playoffs and is so bad, he winds up in the press box for the next two and doesn't play at all. So not only are you a slow skater, a very slow skater, but you started the playoffs on the fourth line when you're supposed to be one of the prospects of the Sabres, and then you wound up in the press box watching. So I wonder if he gets qualified.
Paul Hamilton on the AT&T hotline. Paul, one thing, I know the afternoon guys were talking about this yesterday, and I mentioned it very, very briefly. I don't know that the Sabres would be shopping the number one overall pick, but I bet they'd be getting calls, and I bet you'd have GMs throwing names out there like, what if I was to put together a package that included so-and-so? How many players can you think of off the top of your head that you would be willing to have a conversation if they were offered up?
None. Right, they need that big defense. I would rather have Eichel and Dahlin than have McDavid. I would rather have the two players, then. So if Edmonton would offer up McDavid and you don't get Dahlin, then I'd rather have Eichel and Dahlin than Eichel and McDavid.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're a better team with the defenseman, with the good forward and the good defenseman, than just the two good forwards. and the defense that the Sabres have, and then you're trying to piecemeal together and find some other trade you can make to improve your D. So, honestly, I don't think there's a deal out there that I would do.
How about any young defense? I mean, if you want that defenseman, any young defenseman that could be offered as part of a package that would get you thinking?
No, not at all. Because again, this guy, if he turns into Denny Potvin, who he's being compared to, you're talking about one of the top five defensemen that ever played this game, in Denny Potvin. So, yeah, no, I just can't think of anything that would put me towards making that trade.
Paul Hamilton on the AT&T hotline. The draft a week from Friday and the free agency period July 1st. Do we expect anything in free agency? It's funny, Paul, you know, you always refer to it as silly season. I think free agency has died to a point that we don't even talk about who the free agents are anymore. It's Tavares and a bunch of guys. I can't even – John Carlson. John Tavares, John Carlson, and that's about it that I can really think of off the top of my head.
And it seems like the bigger names before free agency hits are starting to sign with their old clubs. I mean, Stamkos, Oliver Ekman-Larsson is going to do the same. I mean, he's agreed to terms. He can't sign the contract since it's an extension until after July 4th rolls by. But and you wonder if John Tavares, with Lou Lamoriello now in charge of the Islanders, if John Tavares did think to himself that he wanted out of Long Island, if Lou Lamoriello shows up, he might think, whoa, wait a minute here. Maybe I don't want to leave Long Island. You know, if Gar Snow's running the team, then you're thinking, okay, yeah, that doesn't work. Let's go. But no, wait a minute, Lou Lamoriello's here. Maybe I want to be a part of this.
Well,
that could change things drastically for the best free agent that's out there.
One thing that I'm looking at capfriendly.com, maybe one of the reasons that free agency has kind of dried up is that age. You know, if you talk about a free agent, you're almost always talking about a player that is at least 28. Mm-hmm. And in this league, primes are hit before 28. 28 is the downside of a prime. Even in the case of Tavares, Paul, I wonder how many teams would say, you know, he's a great player, but if he's going to want 8 years, we're not going to want to pay that into year 6, 7, and 8.
I think maybe teams are starting to realize what value is. Tavares is going to be good for you. I don't know if I would agree with the downswing right now, but it's coming. It's going to come long before 8 years rolls around. So let's say you get 2 or 3 good years out of player A. And then now you're like, oh, geez, now what are we going to do with this contract?
Right.
And so many bad contracts are – teams are stuck with them because a player – that's why I wouldn't want anything to do with Erik Karlsson.
That's why I wouldn't do anything with Phil Kessel. He's 30.
Yeah, that's – Erik Karlsson's a great player. It's not that I'm disputing the greatness of the way – well, he played injury. I mean, I don't know if he's going to totally come back from the injury either. But by the time you get to the end of that contract, that's going to be a noose around your head. I mean, it's even gotten sillier now that people, I think, have realized what value is. And the other thing about free agency is everybody was getting these long, long, long-term deals. So that was taking very good players off the market for long periods of time. It wasn't like it's a 2-year deal and they're back on the free agency market again. 7, 8-year deals. So that dries up the market after a while because players aren't revisiting the market, so to speak, in most cases. So you don't have them on the market anymore. So free agency gets worse and worse and worse every year.
I'm looking at the list here. And just the age, when I click the free agency list, you know, Thornton's at the top. This is sorted by how much money they made last year. Thornton, 38. Rick Nash, 33. These are the big names. Paul Stastny, 32. Mike Green, 32. Plekanec, 35. Tobias Enstrom, 33. Tavares is the young guy. He's 27. And the next young guy is JVR, who's 29. So free agency is, it's not exactly getting set out to stud as a horse, but, you know, you are definitely in the twilight of your career. And as we've seen guys like, you know, McDavid and Eichel and Matthews will no doubt be next signing their deals that take them well into 27, 28 years old. you know, the league has kind of figured out that the smart thing to do is pay your players that are great, pay them as long as you can, and then once they get to that next contract, let somebody else pay that one. Unless, you know, there are going to be examples. Sidney Crosby is going to be, you know, a Hall of Famer and is going to have a longer peak than others. So you have exceptions where guys that are the best of the best can be great past 27. But I think about, like, the Matt Bolesky contracts and guys like Nick Bonino. And not to say that they are slouches in their primes, but there are just – maybe Oposo is like this, Paul. The Sabres are going to come to regret that contract because of how long it is.
Well, I think they will. I don't think there's any question about that. And let's Evander Kane. How many times did you hear, "Oh, Evander Kane's in for a big shock"?
No.
I don't think he's shocked.
No.
Oh, Evander Kane's agent, he's in for a big surprise. You know, because the Sharks did not hold his past against him. They did when they traded for him because they're trying to trade for him for as little as possible. But they didn't hold his past against him in a contract. And if Evander Kane blows up somewhere and winds up in handcuffs again or anything like that, all of a sudden you're like, oh, geez, now what did we do? You know, we bet on Evander and it didn't work. But he got there were a lot of people and, you know, the quote insiders who didn't think Evander Kane had a prayer of making $7 million because of his past. Guess
yeah.
what?
All right.
Some team will do it. And that's the thing about free agency. Some teams, there's always a team out there that'll get stupid and pay you what you want.
All right, Paul. Well, we'll keep an eye on this, on all this, and on the trade rumors.
We will be there.
All right. Thanks, Paul.
Take care.
Paul Hamilton on the AT&T Hotline. Quick tweet from Carl. He writes in, "You and Mike," Shope he's mentioning, "are causing Dynasty Fantasy Fever. Can you tell us more details? What site you're using? How many roster positions? Can you disclose what $12? Yeah, I was on the afternoon show yesterday. Brayton, for the first time in my life, I have spent money to get a website that will help me be better at fantasy football. I spent $12.
Wow.
It is $5 a month if I did it for a year, but I couldn't justify spending $60, so I figured I'd do it for 1 month, and it would be the month of this draft, which is Saturday. So it's a dynasty league. I finally started preparations. I have a couple guys that I've, in my head, kind of notched as, like, I'd like to get this guy for the next 5 years, the next 6 years. Not all rookies, of course. You know, anybody you draft, you get to keep as long as you want. I'm excited. I'm ready for Saturday. It's going to be the longest draft ever.
I mean, well, it might be beneficial for you to get it just for that 1 month period that you said did, just because Dynasty Fantasy Leagues are pretty important, I would say. I mean, you can do it every year, but...
I'm investing in my investment.
Yeah, exactly.
Although it's not exactly a big money league. It's just for, you know, a little bit of scratch and
just
some bragging rights.
Yeah.
When we get back, Bills left tackle Deion Dawkins joins us. OTAs rolling along from One Bills Drive. It is WGR Sports Radio 550. Deion Dawkins, I said OTAs, minicamp, I mean. Deion Dawkins, when we return here on WGR.
Of a coach, so he'll find ways to get it done in different situations. It's a lot of confidence in that department. I think that might help us out.
That is LeSean McCoy spoke yesterday. Bills minicamp rolls along. Jeremy White with you. Howard's off today. Brayton Wilson producing. Quick headlines. The U.S. is going to host the World Cup along with Canada and Mexico in 2026. The United bid has potential cities to host games in Toronto, MetLife Stadium, Philly, Baltimore, D.C., and Cincinnati. Those are the closest ones. Also spreading as far and wide as Edmonton, Mexico City, L.A., San Fran, Montreal. But 2026, the U.S. to host the World Cup and host most of the games. 803-0550 to join us. Bills minicamp rolls along, and working with the ones for the first time yesterday was Josh Allen. One of the ones is on the line with us. Deion Dawkins, Bills left tackle, on the AT&T hotline. Deion, good morning.
Good morning. How's it going?
Pretty good, pretty good. How's year two for you? Is this easy? Is it no big thing? I mean, last year you're a rookie. You appear in all 16 games. Now you're slated in as one of the ones, one of the starters, and it's year two. So just old hat, or is it new because, you know, you got some changes on offense?
It's never easy. It's definitely harder because we have a whole new offense, so it's not like we're coming in here with the same playbook. So it's a totally different life, and taking it just day by day.
More complicated, this offense? How would you describe the difference between this year and last year?
I guess I don't even know what to say. It's just different. It's just a whole different person behind the steering wheel. So I just see it as a brand new driver.
You got a new driver at coordinator. You also have a new. You're going to have a new driver at quarterback. How's it been working with all three? And what can you tell us about Josh Allen? How he's looked so far? You know, Sean McDermott said he earned his spot to get some reps with the ones. What have you seen out of Josh Allen?
I think that the kid is special. I mean, he's a hard worker. He's very smart. He's definitely very intelligent. With his conversations, and he's just different. I mean, he's a giant kid. He's fast. He has a strong arm, and he's very athletic. So, I like the kid.
We've heard the term special a little bit. LeSean McCoy said it yesterday. You're using it right now. Is it when you're a professional player, when you're a guy that's in the NFL? You know, rookies come in. You're going to see some that are wide eyed. I mean, you were a rookie just last year. How quickly do you feel like you can tell if a guy is up to the job or up to whatever job that might be?
Immediately. Just by the way and that they move and by the way that they speak and handle and herself around everyone else. And he's a professional already, I would say. And he's just growing day in and day out. He's studying and he wants to get better. So he's definitely just stacking days and making great plays.
You guys have had a couple weeks of OTAs. This is the final week of this portion of the offseason program where you guys are now in minicamp. You know, you're talking about how different the offense has been. We're talking about how Josh Allen has grown a bit. How much has the entire offense in your eyes come along in these last couple weeks? Like, are there goals you set ahead of time? Have you met them? You've only got today and tomorrow, and then there's this big long break.
Yeah. So I would say that we're becoming a closer knit family because of the off season like program and us working out together and us being around each other. We're all becoming one, and we know everybody's personal life, like not just their football life. So, with that saying, we are all gonna play for each other just that much harder on the field because we know who everyone is personally.
Yeah. What's one of the things Sean McDermott seems like he wanted to instill last year was accountability to each other. We talked about this. We were talking about you a couple days ago and talking about what players might face a little bit of pressure. And your name came up just because, you know, Cordy Glenn was a good left tackle for this team for quite a while. And it had to feel good for you. I mean, I don't want to put words in your mouth, that the Bills, when they made that trade to send Cordy Glenn away, the first thing that Bills fans might have looked to was, this means they believe in Deion Dawkins.
Yeah, so I wouldn't say pressure. I would just say confidence. When I heard that Cordy Glenn got traded, of course I wasn't happy because that was my teammate, and he's the one who actually helped me be the player that I was. But I learned how this business goes early, and you can never get comfortable, and you can never get complacent, because everything shifts and moves around in this league so fast that you never know who's on that hot seat. So I just took it how I seen it, and I had to just be ready to play. So I just did what I had to do to stay on the field and do my 111.
Did you and Cordy have a conversation after the news? Did you?
Of course.
Did he give any advice out the door, or was any sort of, you know, a thank you? I mean, right, of course, you're losing a teammate, and you're stepping into that role, which, of course, brings responsibility.
And he just said, keep doing and what you're doing. And Cordy Glenn is still in connection with me, and we speak often, and he's still just being the mentor and a great guy that he is.
Deion Dawkins on the AT&T hotline here as Bills minicamp continues today and then again tomorrow. How about LeSean McCoy? When he walks into training camp, when he walks into OTA's minicamp, I maybe might think that the line wants to do well for him. I mean, this is a guy who has goals to get to 12,000 yards. He wants to get to the Hall of Fame. And sure, I mean, winning as a team, that's primary goal. But how much of a motivating factor is it to have McCoy back there and wanting to help him have success?
We take that very personal here. And we are going to do everything and everything to get our teammates to where they want to go, whether it's a quarterback, a running back, a wide receiver, a tight end, a center, a guard, a tackle, anybody, a kicker. We want everybody to achieve all of their goals. And because we know clearly what Shady wants, we are going to do everything in our power to help him get to that goal. Hopefully it's 12K and some change.
Deion
13K, you never 13, know.
13, yeah, why stop now? How many years do you think he can do it? Yeah, I mean, we haven't seen him slow down yet.
Oh, 2-5? 2-5 will go as long as he wants to. He's also a different cat, and I think that he could play for, who knows, 16, 17, 5 more years? who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Deion Dawkins on the AT&T Island. How about the new offensive coordinator? You know, you're talking about different guys behind the wheel, whether the quarterback's driving it or the coordinator. Brian Daboll brought in to run this offense. When you first impressions or impressions of the style of coaching that you're getting from him.
He has the swagger and he wants to win. He just wants to go out there and just achieve. He has no fear and he's gonna let it be shown game one.
All right. Deion, I gotta tell everybody your Twitter handle is ddawkins66. I saw your latest post where I saw two things. First, I saw you pick the Cavs to win, which that didn't go so well. But that's not your fault. I mean, you know, is that heart overhead maybe?
I'm a LeBron fan.
Yeah. Where's he gonna go?
Who knows? I have no idea. Hopefully he comes to Philly. Or maybe him and Kyrie can team up and take over the Garden. You never know.
All right. You a Sixers fan?
No, but I'm a Philly supporter.
Gotcha. All right. All right. Well, we'll keep tabs on that. And best of luck at training camp. What are you going to do in the 5-6 weeks in between mini camp and training camp?
I'm going to be training. Probably be training with Richie or one of my teammates.
All right. You're still in touch with Richie Incognito?
Of course, my brother.
All right, very good. How's he enjoying retirement or a potential comeback?
You would have to ask him.
Okay, all right. All right, thanks, Deion. Thanks very much.
For sure. You have a wonderful morning.
You too. Deion Dawkins on the AT&T hotline as Bills minicamp continues today. It's day two, tomorrow, day three, and then the 5 to 6 week break before training camp opens up and things get rolling. The Bills don't have any of the drama that some of these other teams have. If it's Pittsburgh with Le'Veon Bell, they're going through that drama every year. Julio Jones in Atlanta. The NFL, if they want to get rid of holdouts and they really think this is a problem, one of the trade-offs to a guaranteed contract, you could do that. How come other sports don't have holdouts the same way? Well, in the NHL, contracts are guaranteed. So if you front load a deal, you are locked into that deal. In the NFL, when you can just cut a guy and let him loose with the money he got, and there are $20 million in contracts coming up the next couple of years and you cut him loose, the reason the NFL players are more likely to hold out is because they're more likely to be hurt. They have more to lose. And I don't have any problem with Khalil Mack, with Aaron Donald, with Julio Jones, with these guys, Earl Thomas, that are independent contractors that can be released at any time by their team, and sometimes the contract means they get a certain amount of money when that happens. But, you know, you sign a $100 million contract, only $50 million of that is guaranteed. Guys are looking for guaranteed money, and I don't have any problem with that. You're signing any contract, no matter what you're doing, no matter where it is, what business it is, you want guarantees. Guarantees pay the bills. Potential incentives, that stuff, that's all nice, but it's guarantees for these guys that pay the bills, and that's what they're going to want. So with Julio Jones, You know, I'm sure that there are plenty of sports fans out there that are mad at these guys and want them to shut up and play. You know, you're not the one putting your body on the line. You're not the one that if you tear your ACL, gets cut by the team, and then boom, you've exhausted all of your football life, and you're not going to get that contract back. So no issue with them. Use your leverage. The players that have the leverage are the ones that use it. If you don't have any, you're not using it. So it's nice the Bills don't have any of this drama right now, but it happens to every team, happens all over the league. And I'm sure that every one of these players will ultimately sign with the team. It's the rare thing is, was it Vincent Jackson who sat out for 10 games and then played to accrue a year and then moved on from San Diego, maybe? I'm trying to remember this. The Bills have had their share of holdouts, whether it's Jarris Bird, Aaron Maben at the start of training camp. This is before the rookie wage scale, right? But Jarris Bird, and I'm thinking Jason Peters, you know, guys missed the first game of the season because they missed all of camp, and then they come back in and they're fine. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 to join us. Pat Kerwin apparently says, Julio Jones got $47 million the last 3 years. That's good. That's good. He deserves it. He's a profitable player. If he wants to ask for more, he can ask for more. 803-0550. Wine or line when we get back, and then Sal Capaccio's report on how things looked at Bills minicamp. Josh Allen getting reps with the ones. Nathan Peterman, in Sal's words, dropping dimes. We'll get Sal top of the hour here on WGR.
I have for lunch today? Ham, turkey. How about a grand salami?
I'm guessing the Mets gave up a grand slam last night. Wine & Line brought to you by the Premier Group, Wine Made Easy. The Premier Group wine of the week is Gearbox Chardonnay from California, just $11.99 for a 750-milliliter bottle. See all of Premier's weekly specials at premierwines.com. Now, Howard gets stressed about the Mets. I don't know why he does it to himself, but he does. So, the Wine & Line stat of the day. I'll give you the stat of the day, brought to you by ExpressMart. Stat of the day will be from Christian Hackenberg. This isn't exactly a wine, but whatever. This is just what I'm tossing in for the wine line. Christian Hackenberg was cut by the Jets. He is now the only quarterback in the last 30-plus years drafted in the first two rounds that never took a snap in the regular season.
Yikes.
That's a yikes. Never took a snap. How do you not even find, like, I guess like you found out during practice that he wasn't ever good, but that courtesy of NFL Update. 30-plus years, first two rounds, never took an NFL snap. Hackenberg. So the Jets took a swing on that one and missed.
Big time.
Did it set them back 5 years? Nope.
No, because they got Darnold.
They did get Darnold. They also got, during the course of that, when was Hackenberg taken? They went 10-6 with Fitz, right? And
they took him 2014? 2015?
2016. No, okay, it was pretty quick.
Okay.
2016 draft. Now, 2016 and 17 with the Jets, and apparently he's already with the Raiders. The Raiders are going to pick him up. Good for him. He was one of those guys that was supposed to be really good, and then, well, he had a great sophomore season in college, and then the junior year was bad, and senior year was not impressive, and he went in the second round. He was another that many were convinced was never going to be good. And in this case, they would have been right. There are plenty of cases where it's gone wrong. My Dynasty Fantasy Draft. I'll just go ahead and tell you some of the guys I think I want to get. I mean, I don't know. I want to be careful not to fall in love with the idea of getting young players. Because, it's about winning the league. And I can tell you already, I know that quarterbacks are devalued because you can just get a guy that'll put up similar numbers to guys near the top. Like, you just don't spend too much on quarterbacks. But part of me would feel good if I were to pick the right quarterbacks and, like, for instance, Lamar Jackson. If you draft Lamar Jackson in an auction draft and spend very little on him and he ends up being awesome, you might not win your league because quarterback isn't the most important position in fantasy, but I feel like it would, and I know this is wrong, but I feel like it'd be a moral victory to say, like, yeah, I drafted that guy. It's the closest thing you have to, Hackenberg caught by the Raiders, not the Jets. That already happened with the Jets. I feel like there'd be a moral victory there. Like, that's right. I got Lamar Jackson as a rookie, and he's been on my fantasy team for 7 years. And that doesn't win you games necessarily because you're going to need better receivers and you're going to need great running backs to win in fantasy. But, you know, the dynasty angle, I am excited for it. This league, how long is this draft going to last? We have 12 players, 12 owners, and there are 24 rounds of auction. The draft is supposed to start at 4 p.m.
It'll be at least 3 hours?
Oh, my God. You're way low.
Really?
24 rounds times 12? We have 15 bench spots for this dynasty.
Do you have a limited time to make your picks?
Well, I mean, it's not a snake draft, so there's no time. It's a matter of the bidding, right, the bidding process.
Right.
We are not doing – here's my experience with fantasy. In the last couple days, I've had to look up terms in fantasy football that I don't know. For instance, I've been asked, is this an IDP league? And I had to Google fantasy terminology IDP. And it's a defensive player league. No, it's not. I've never been in one of those. Are they fun? This league's not going to have... we don't have defense. We don't have kickers in the League of Shopes and Dreams. But we have bench spots out the wazoo. Brayton, 24 rounds with 12 owners. There are 288 players that will be auctioned.
All right, so at that point, it's probably going to be until like 10.
Yeah.
5 hours.
How many minutes per player? If it's 1 minute per player, you're looking at almost 5 hours. That's with no breaks. That's with, it's going to be a lengthy one. Carl tweets in, midnight. I think it'll go till at least 10. At least 6 hours. It'll be a long round of golf. Texter asked if we ever do an all-rookie fantasy league. No, I mean, my fantasy has been conventional fantasy football. Just conventional leagues, nothing out of the ordinary. I've done it for, you know, since I'm in high school. 1995 might have been the first time I was in a fantasy football league. And again, this year is the first year I've ever buckled and spent dollars, actual dollars, to get advice from a website. I don't want to tell you the website because there's a million of them out there. The nice thing about it, though, is it actually syncs up with the website we are using and immediately imported all of the owners' names, the teams, the scoring format, and boom, I've got my draft board ready to roll. The draft is Saturday. It is going to feel very strange drafting in mid-June, but at the same time, I'm into it. I'm into a fantasy. Ryan writes in, that many players in a straight auction, you'll be lucky to be done by midnight. I know. It's going to be long. Maybe the move is to just spend all your money and get out. Spend it all and let it go to the waiver wire for the rest. Here's another tweet. Our league takes at least 6 hours. IDPs are great. We do two defensive linemen, two linebackers, two defensive backs. I hate doing leagues that don't have IDPs since joining this league. It's fantastic rooting for defensive guys other than a whole team's defense. We don't even have a whole team's defense. We're just not doing team defense. And we're not doing kickers. And we are doing return touchdowns are worth 6. By the way, if I'm getting any of this wrong to Mike Shope, I'm sorry. I just looked at the scoring system like 2 days ago. I haven't done a lot of research. I'm not exactly prepared. It's just about feel, you know? It's about feel and attitude. Just go in unprepared with feel and attitude. That's my game plan. Now,
it's all about that process, right?
That's right. I got to trust that process. Sal Capaccio on the other side, speaking of trusting the process. We'll talk a little fantasy at 8:30. Scott Pianowski is coming up at 8:30. And I want to get your thoughts in the 9 o'clock segment before we talk to Joel Lundquist about Rasmus Dahlin. Just because, you know, fantasy season isn't exactly here, but for us it is. And as a newbie in a dynasty league, Yeah, any tips you've got. I'm looking for those from Scott at 8:30 and from you guys as well. 803-0550. Sal Capaccio for the latest on minicamp, where Josh Allen got reps with the ones and Nathan Peterman had maybe the best day of any quarterback on the roster yet. That's next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.